Blog Talk Radio. What's up, fam? This is Aliris, and you're listening to Rising Star Radio at risingstarartists.com, where they play the best in independent music.
Natural, beautiful,
the rarest of all fine.
And welcome to Rising Star Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Dyack, the music maven, and we're going to meet the Rachel Walker Trio tonight. But first, I want to let everyone know how to join the broadcast. Please call to listen in if you're at work and don't have an internet connection handy. If you have a question or just want to show some love, you can dial 646-200-3012. If you press the number 1, I'll see your hand raised. If you don't press the number 1, you can just listen in peacefully. You can stream the show at blogtalkradio.com/radiomentors. That's RadioMentors. And if you like, you can join us in the chat room. When the show's over, it'll be available on demand to stream, so share the link to the show with your friends and your family. You're listening to Rising Star Radio, and we're talking to Rachel Walker Trio tonight. We have two members joining us. Welcome, Rachel and Michael.
Thank you, Debbie. Hello.
Great to hear you. I'm so happy. Yeah, good. I'm really happy you mailed in a CD. It was actually you mailed in two CDs. They were a fun listen. I had a great time listening. I loved the whimsical aspect of it. And I wonder, did you produce all of the CDs yourself?
Yes, we did. We work in our own studio, and we like to try to have a live sound. We just find it fresh, and we try to keep that freshness in the music. Lately, we're working on new music, and we might tighten it up a bit, but we do like that live sound.
Yeah, it sure comes through. It feels like we're sitting in the living room together and just kicking back, listening to music.
Yeah, it's pretty organic.
We have an interesting way of introducing the practice sessions that we have. Typically, we have a dinner with all three of us, and then once we're finished with the dinner, we then tend to go into the studio and start playing.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It is.
It's always fun.
So how did you come up with the term zest? I like the way you put that in your EPK.
Oh, that's a good question. Well, Two Radio, they would always have a hard time finding us in a genre because it's pretty multi-diverse in our sound. And so we said, what the heck, let's create a new genre. So we thought Zest kind of suited us, and that's how that kind of started.
Yeah. We thought of also different spices, you know, how you tend to use spices to zing up the meal that you're creating. So we came up by chance with the term zest.
Because I love the word.
Yes?
Yes, it's a good word. Sounds fresh, clean. It's a good word. We like it. It's good for our band and our music and our style. We had one guy on radio say, well, really like the sound, he said, but I really don't know where to put you guys as far as genres go, so, yeah.
I'd put it more in indie folk music, I think. Mm-hmm. It has a really nice folky feel to it, and it's a pretty broad category, so, but zest is cool, so keep the zest coming.
Yeah. Plowing a new frontier.
That's right. So who do you listen to musically?
Good question.
Well, I listen mostly to actually jazz, old-fashioned type jazz, Dave Brubeck, Miles Davis. And that's my love. But once I joined the band, then my interest sort of went into a different direction. And basically, it's I sort of caught enthusiastic vibes of music as it presented itself to me. So I'm an easy picker, easy going, and to me, as long as music swings, it really doesn't matter what kind it is. As long as it's got a swing to it, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, all music has a good sound. if it's good music, right? All genres have a good sound if it's well done. I've always liked Stevie Wonder I love his rhythm and.
Me too. He's a favorite of mine too.
Oh yeah. So.
As is Miles Davis. I was going to say that is sort of telling because of the poet in Michael.
Oh yeah.
So he's sort of a musical poet.
Oh my goodness, he's always writing poetry and throwing it at the band, and her and I'll go, oh, thanks, Michael. That one's a poem.
And that one's not.
Yeah, and that one we could make a song. Yeah, okay, we'll take that one. So it's fun.
And then once I introduce the lyrics, then the three of us, we sort of collaborate at it together and come up with whatever winds up being recorded.
Sometimes we're just jamming, and then I'll pull out one of Michael's poems and just create a melody. And sometimes we just create our music that way. It just happens on an instant.
And how did you all meet?
It was by chance. I've really never belonged to a steady band. I sat in a few sessions here in Williams Lake with different bands, but one day Rachel's husband, Randall, came up and says, hey, how would you like to join a band? And so basically that's how it started. And the minute we played together, Ray, Rachel, and I, we knew that this was going to be a good combination of talent, of individuals.
Yeah, it sure shows through. You know, you can tell when a group of people get together and they have some sort of synergy that's a little bit electric. And I think that comes through in your music.
And the other thing too is we're very easygoing. I can't remember us ever having an argument.
No.
It's kind of really cool.
Yeah, that is a good track record for people when working together.
Yeah, it is. I think it's because they get a good meal.
Oh, there's a secret behind that.
A good meal and maybe a couple glasses of wine, and then the music starts.
Well, the wine really helps me, I can tell you that. I'm having iced tea tonight, but I should have thought of the wine earlier.
Little dabble, do you?
Yep. I'm sorry, Michael, were you about to say something?
No.
Okay. You're listening to Rising Star Radio with guests Rachel and Michael from the Rachel Walker Trio. And we're going to play a track from their CD called Cowboy Hats and Glass Cell Phones. Already the title is intriguing. Let me see if I can cue this up right now. And we can take a listen to what we're talking about.
What's this world coming to? Yeah, yeah. What's this world coming to? junkie sitting on a wall. I know, gonna fall. Cause all the wisdom and some good old advice, I've never been able to help him again. At any price.
Song for sure. I think out of all the songs that I listen to, this one has the most commercial appeal.
Oh yeah,
thank you.
And it has a good, a really good pop quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it were reproduced, because I know you wanted to leave that raw quality in there, but yes. I think if you reproduced it, you'd have a little bit of a hit on your hands.
Well, thank you. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a foot tapper.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Yeah, like we said, we did pretty much right off the floor live.
So where did the inspiration come from for that song? There's a lot going on in there.
Yeah, there is. Actually, I do a lot of driving, and most of my lyrics and my poetry is all based on visual experiences that I encounter during the day. And as far as the cowboy hats, I was driving along Highway 97. There was a group of people on horses. Instead of wearing cowboy hats, they wore helmets, different colors, pink and blue and yellow. Yeah.
Bicycle and helmets on a horse. That's something.
Well, it's, I don't know what to tell you. I think it's basically just for safety reasons. I guess in case somebody fell off the horse, they wouldn't cold conk themselves.
Sign of the times.
Yeah.
And as far as the Harley song goes, that's another encounter on the highway where you can see in the distance a motorcycle with a sidecar, and pretty soon you realize there's something special sitting in the sidecar, and it winds up being a little dog. So
and I had to take his lyrics there and just shove them all into a song.
Yeah.
You did a really good job.
Thanks.
Like I said, the melody is so fun, and it's really catchy.
Well, that one we played when we had the Norwegian broadcasting team here, and we had to play that one off cuff. I was like, man, I hope I get these lyrics right, because they're, you know, quite a few.
They're
of
tricky.
Them, but, yep, we did.
Yeah, well, I really like that. Well, we're going to play another song, but before we do, I want you to talk a little bit about your musical backgrounds.
Okay, well, I come from a long line of musicians, actually, a lot of musicians who play by ear, and a lot of my families in the States, my dad's work brought us way up north into Canada, and so they all would get together and always have big sing-alongs, and that was a real big family thing. And
mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so it's really ingrained in my DNA. But for me, we just, I don't know, I always, it's just in me, and I've just played and sung. I was a singer, gospel singer, doing solo music on my own for a long time before. I've been in a few other bands and groups, but before these guys, so.
Well, as far as myself goes, there really is no musical background in my family. But at a young age, I loved listening to music. As a matter of fact, one of my fondest memories, which goes back in the late 50s, is I used to sneak the radio at nighttime, Thursday evenings at 11:30, and listen to a radio station out of New York City called Tito Puente and the Cuban All-Stars.
Oh, no, I'm from New York City.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Okay, and so that's, I don't know if that's what started me going, but then in high school I played the clarinet, played in the band, and later on I played the classical guitar, but I really never caught into those instruments. And then one day I was listening to a live performance of the Albert Mengelsdorf Quartet in Toronto at the Eaton Center, and there was this drummer who was an amazing musician. I said, that is my instrument. And then I picked it up on my own, self-taught. And over the years, I've sat in on bands. I've really never been part of a band. And let's see what else.
Except for
and
this
then, of
one.
Course, it's interesting. When I, of course, then I was busy raising a family, and then while I was doing that, I was too busy to get involved with music. But once it all came to an end, I said to myself, Michael, you're going to start playing the drums again. And I did, and I I started
like
practicing, and pretty soon I met Rachel and Ray, and the rest is history.
Wow. So can somebody speak for Ray Chadwick? You said he's primary instrumentalist.
Yeah, Ray pulls a musician. He pulls a musical instrument out of his sleeve. We just wonder which one he's going to play when we're practicing. And we enjoy it. It keeps the music lively, and Ray's the one in the band who can, like when I do a lot by ear, and when I'm playing, you know, chords that are unknown to me, he'll go, oh, yeah, that's a B flat major 7, and oh, yeah, that's a, so he's good that way. He helps me write down my chords, and yeah, he's the one that's been trained the most as far as Royal Conservatory and all that, and that's a great deal.
Well, yeah, it's interesting to know how a musical trio, especially a trio, because 3 is a special number when it comes to music, I think.
Yeah. I agree.
But when you talk about a trio, you know, just combining the different backgrounds together, it's really an interesting blend.
It is.
Yeah, it is. And it's always turning. Like, it's not just, that's the great thing about us, I think, is that we're all adding to the music, not just one person.
Yes.
You know, it's not one person's style only, so it stays a lot fresher, I believe.
I believe so, too. Well, what we're going to do next is play a track, and it's called She's a Flower, and we get to hear a little bit more of Ray. And listen to the lyrics here. This is a little bit different than the one we heard before, but here we go.
Mom and son,
another strong tune.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Great melody, too. How'd you come up with that?
Hmm.
I mean, how does the process work?
Well, that song came from my heart. I was working with a lot of sick people and elderly people, and it was a heavy, heavy time, but I was happy to help. But it was a burden for me to see older people be so lonely and kind of put away and forgotten, and I guess it's easier to be old in a third world country.
Yeah.
But anyway, because the families are more there. But so anyway, I wrote that song, and it's about dementia. Actually, it's pretty heavy, actually, the the thoughts behind it, but it's about dementia and just, I think, just people moving away from reality.
It was a challenge for us to work on this piece because it pulled on all of our hearts. It was almost like sort of an international, sound to it. And that sound to me was intermingled with pain and suffering, but with the violin in the background, to me the violin represented eternal hope, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do. It has a melancholy vibe. That's for sure. But at the same time, it's also a strong ballad, and I think it's also commercially viable, which is why I picked those two in particular because of the commercial power behind it.
Awesome. That. Thank you very much.
Something
awesome
to think about maybe when you're back in the studio, reproducing those to make them tighter, like you said,
mm-hmm.
and paying closer attention to maybe just a little less echo or something. I think that's they're both pretty pretty powerful songs. One being so much fun, and there's always power in fun. And mm-hmm. and this one, I loved the mandolin and the violin, but I thought the melody was especially.
Thanks, Deborah.
Well, thank you, Deborah.
Yeah, we've got a whole bunch of new songs that we've been writing, and that's our goal this next time around, is to just be tight and to just pay attention and not rush them or anything, but do them
justice. Take your time.
That's
for sure.
Right. Yeah.
It's worth the effort. For sure. So just a suggestion for the mastering on this. Whomever's doing your mastering is forgetting to put the track names on them.
The track names on the mastering?
Yeah, huh. Because when the CDs come up, it just comes up instead of with the track names. It's coming up with track one, track two, track three.
Really? Huh. Mm-hmm.
That's part of the mastering process. Yeah, I know. So just a side note, I'm always paying attention to every little detail as you can see.
That's on which one, Deborah? Is that volume one or volume two?
Volume one.
Actually, both.
Really? Because we got the second one mastered at Abbey Road Studios. Should have been.
Well, I don't know if it matters as much as the studio, which is a pretty cool place to get something mastered, but at the same time, I don't know how the files are put together because I don't do mastering. I just know that's the step in the process that makes the song titles pop up.
Well, we'll make that a serious news.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about what you're going to be working on, because this is going to be coming up. Are you going to be taking some time off, or how do you do that?
We cram it in, actually.
all three of us are working, so we've lead very busy lives, and so it's always a challenge to fit everything in. But the ambition is there to create music that will not change, and so we sort of go by hook and by crook and work with our timetable as best as we can.
I'm going to have a little more time lately, and I'm really going to work on refining our new music, and then it makes it easier on the guys when they come in to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything special come to mind
yeah.
that you're going to be working on that you can talk about now?
Yep, I've got song called Dandelion Ballet, and that's a piano ballad that I wrote, and we're enjoying that. And then I've got some more upbeat music. Throw Me a Lifeline. Michael wrote these lyrics, and I wrote the music for it. And another one, a couple more upbeat ones.
We have an interesting process. We sort of show up for dinner, then we show up for practice. And as we're practicing, we all bring out something new that we've been working on. So we approach our music creations basically a little bit at a time. And by through a repetitive nature of the practice, we tend to refine it and create some beautiful music.
Yeah, that's for sure. You certainly hit the nail on the head there. Well, you know, we've only got a couple minutes left. This 30 minutes goes by so fast.
Yes.
It seems just like we started talking just a couple minutes ago.
Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Why don't you tell people how they can contact you and what your website information and all that kind of thing?
Okay, well, we have a website, www.rachelwalkertrio.com, and all our information is on there. There's a contact button to press, and we're around to be reached, and
okay,
we're internet
based.
Yeah, we are. We used to do a lot more gigging, but now we're pretty much more internet based.
So are you on iTunes and...
Oh, yeah, we're all over.
Okay, good.
Randall, what are all our links? There's a ton of links on our website. If you go on there, you'll just see a ton of links. Yeah, we're all over the place, actually.
Okay, so it's rachelwalkertrio.com.
Yeah. We're played on CBC 3 radio. We're played on several radio stations. Google.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, you could just Google us even.
Yeah. I will do that.
Give us a Google.
Yeah, Google. So it was a great time talking to you. I wanted to let folks know, if you're interested in getting your music played on Rising Star Radio, mail in your CD, send a photo and bio to Rising Star Radio, and that is... through the website risingstarartist.com. We've only got about 30 seconds left, and I want to remind everyone that whatever goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas, except for what happens with the Rachel Walker Trio. And I want to wish everyone a good night and thank everyone for listening, and get some dinner and drink some wine and make some music.
It was a pleasure, Deborah. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deborah.
Good night, everybody.
Good
thank
night.
You. Bye-bye.
Hang up.